Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Steelers Football. I'm Bob Labriola, joined by Mike Pursuta of the DVE Morning Show. It's a Monday where you're really neither happy nor sad. The Steelers did not play yesterday, but the NFL season 2012 is 4 weeks old. What do we know?
We know that a lot of these games are going to be close, approximately half of them. We know a lot of people have good players, and there are very few, if any, teams that have good depth, at least none that has materialized from my analysis. And we know it's starting to get interesting. The undefeateds are still the undefeateds, but two of them were pushed to the brink. And those 0-4 Cleve Brownies, Bob, not a bad effort in Baltimore Thursday night. Not a bad season other than that god-awful opener against Philadelphia when Braden Whedon had the 5.1 or whatever it was passer rating. But
just ahead of John Blutarski.
Yeah, just. They really hung in there and competed and battled. Still have some limitations of youth, but let's back up and start with Thursday night since I'm there. I came out of that game thinking, you know, Baltimore still isn't all that, but all of a sudden Cleveland is a little respectable. Well, so maybe easier to beat the Ravens than initially perceived, tougher to beat the Browns than initially perceived.
I think the Browns are going to be a team that's going to compete throughout. I think they're just good enough to lose a lot of close games, which, you know, is the classic case of not good enough. And that's where I think they are. I mean, I would be surprised if they end up actually winning more than four games. Now, to me, the key is not to be one of those four.
Bingo. I think they're going to beat somebody in a division.
Yes.
They've played two division games thus far, both on the road, both seven-point losses in games they had a chance to win, including Thursday night when they're lobbing balls in the end zone at the end of the game.
Yeah, somebody who's not paying attention can definitely lose to the Browns.
And that could decide it, ultimately.
Yes. You know, I think that for whatever they are or are not, both the Bengals and the Ravens are going to have to be dealt with throughout this season. And by that I mean not only in terms of when you play them, they will be a formidable foe, but also they're not going to slap you up in the other games where, you know, you play them and you're both, you know, 6-3, and the next time you play them, you're 9-5, and they're still 6 and whatever. They, you know, they've lost four in a row. So I think that they're the kinds of teams that are going to beat a lot of the opponents on their schedule and keep themselves in a mathematical position where you're going to have to be dealing with them throughout this whole season. I was kind of hoping that, you know, maybe that wouldn't end up being the case, that one or the other. And I wasn't really sure. You know, I thought maybe Baltimore might have a, you know, just kind of be 8-8 or 9-7, you know, without Terrell Suggs. But, you know, they're finding ways to get it done on defense. Flacco is putting up some numbers. Torrey Smith, you know, I heard some people, fans and the like, when Ozzie Newsome in the offseason, when it was speculated that oh my God, Mike Wallace is going to get an offer sheet from the Ravens, and Ozzie Newsome came out when he was asked about it and said, "We have Torrey Smith. He's turned out to be a pretty good player." So I don't know. The Ravens are getting it done in a different way, but again, I don't think that makes them any easier to beat either.
Yeah. Well, not as different as the numbers might suggest, because I've seen them play a lot this year. Haven't seen Cincinnati except during the Baltimore game. But for all this talk I hear of the new Joe Flacco and he's going to take the next step and they're running the no huddle and they have the weaponry to do it, I think that outfit still runs through Ray Rice on offense. When they get Ray Rice the ball running and he can continue to run, when he is not deterred from running, and when you allow him to catch the short pass in the flat and turn it into 20 yards here and 15 there, you're going to lose. Find a way to deal with Ray Rice, I think you deal with the Ravens successfully as it relates to their offense. Defensively, you know, the Steelers clearly miss James Harrison, and there's a lot of that going around, Bob, because they're still bringing seven in Baltimore, but they're not getting there with nearly the frequency or ferocity that they used to. It's different people in the secondary, but I think there's still plays to be made against that group. Cleveland, if only those young Browns could catch the ball, Bob, the Browns would have a victory.
Yeah, Earl Little's up in the, among the league leaders.
Greg Little,
right. Earl Little was a safety for them some years back. But see this, but again, and I agree with you in terms of how you look at each of the individual teams. But what I'm saying is by being 1-2, by going and losing to the Raiders on the road, and I'll be bitching and moaning about this all year, you 1-2 now, you can lose to Philadelphia. You know, the Eagles, they can beat you. You know, they can.
No question.
And so then 1-3 is – and then you're looking at two maybe teams that are 4-1, and you're just now in a mathematical position where they're not going to collapse – enough for you to even beat them twice and pass them.
Well, you're not there yet.
I understand that.
You're not there yet.
But
don't back away from the ledge. but a little perspective, New Orleans would kill to be 1-3 right now. As might Cleveland. Not that Cleveland was considered a contender. But, yeah, I see where you're coming from. I keep thinking back to what Kevin Colbert talked about during training camp when he reviewed last year and said losing to Baltimore kind of created a – we're chasing our own tail kind of situation, to we being the Steelers, from his perspective. And, you know, then they caught up and then lost to Baltimore again, and then they had a chance to make a move and lost to San Francisco and could never get ahead of the chains, so to speak. Now would be a good time to get ahead of the chains, defend your home turf against Philadelphia, which Philadelphia is capable of beating Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh should be eminently capable of beating Philadelphia as well. Then you go down to Tennessee, and to me, that's one you just have to get because Tennessee's not any good.
Right.
And the quarterback might be out. Locker got hurt yesterday.
You think Tennessee's worse than the Raiders?
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Yeah, I do.
I mean, they're down in there, though, because Oakland really came back with a lot of character yesterday, did they not?
It did, but see, you don't think as highly of that Denver team as I do.
That was
it. And I think it's a big deal home road, too, especially with a team such as the Raiders. I'm saying the Steelers should have lost that game, but it wasn't inconceivable to me that Carson Palmer could look like he knew what he was doing against the Steelers because he does.
Well, I understand that.
Still should have won, but, it's funny. I hear a lot of that. A lot of people I've come across since yesterday have been kind of cross-referencing opponents and say, oh, well, the 49ers beat the Jets worse on the road than the Steelers did at home, so they're better, and the Steelers' performance is awful now because Denver's 2-2. Hey, Denver's 2-2, having lost to two undefeated teams by less than a touchdown. And that was a game the Steelers almost won. What they call almost winning? Losing.
But yeah.
I guess what I'm getting at is this is still sorting itself out.
The league will change.
Yeah.
The league will change maybe two more times from what it is now. I don't have any problem with that or disagree with that. All I want is, you know, there have been times when not only the Steelers but other teams, you know, when you get to January or the end of December, you might be playing one of the better teams in your conference or in the entire league.
Like those Eagles were last year.
But if your mathematics get away from you too soon, you can't catch up.
If that four-game winning streak in December only gets you to 8-8.
Yeah, where are you? So
watching on TV.
Watching on TV. And what do they call almost making the playoffs? So that's
failing to qualify.
But that's why I bitch and moan about a lot of these things that happen early.
Because, well, I'd be concerned if you weren't bitching and moaning about something.
Well,
on the other hand, am the voice of reason and perspective.
No, you're optimist. You're optimistic. You generally look at things as...
I bounce back pretty quick.
Yes, you do. I, on the other hand, I mean, that's why I would not be a good coach. That's why I would not be a good team executive in terms of being in charge of personnel. I'm Mediterranean Italian. I am emotional.
I got a little of that going, too. I'd be bad on game day. Trust me on that.
But... So anyway, the Texans are pretty good. Getting back to what have we learned, the Texans are pretty good. J.J. Watt is really good. I think the 49ers are pretty good too. I mean, they lost in Seattle. That's a division place, tough place to play up there. But They really
No, they lost to Minnesota.
Oh, that's right. Okay, it was Dallas who went to Seattle and lost up there. Yeah, they lost.
Dallas is still slappy, in my opinion.
Yes, Dallas is slappy.
Because Seattle's slappy. It's not a tough place to play. It's a loud place to play. Okay, if Russell Wilson's your quarterback, you're going to need an act of God or a replacement official to lose.
Okay, well, I mistook the 49ers' losses.
But I like their tough guy mentality.
The 49ers?
Yeah, I think their quarterback is growing a little bit. He's not as horrible as I thought he was 3 years ago.
And I think the best Wildcat quarterback lives there and not in New York.
Maybe.
That kid's not bad. And he can he doesn't look as slappy in the pocket throwing as Tebow, speaking of the choking, dying
Jets. By the way, clever transition. Did you see Tebow blocked Aldon Smith yesterday?
Yeah, cut him. Aldon Smith didn't like that
either. Steelers could have used one of those last year. Because it seems to me he came in unimpeded a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Well, or very poorly impeded. what are we looking at Super Bowl here? Texans, Cardinals, right? I mean,
well, I'm going to stick with Green Bay for the time being. But Cardinals are an interesting team. Some growth from them yesterday in that they played poorly. Their defense, which they've been living on, got shredded by a rookie quarterback. Ryan Tannehill, who hadn't shown a whole heck of a lot of anything prior to that point. Not that he was awful, but he just
– They found a way to win.
And they did it driving the ball late.
Yes.
Kevin Cobb, you know, the people I talked to out there, Labs, tell me that that was not a close competition between Red Skelton and Kevin Cobb in training camp. People were surprised that Skelton ended up being the starting quarterback. And the info I got was there's no way it could have been anybody else. And since Skelton got hurt against Seattle, Cobb came in the opener and directed a drive that got them the lead. He's been playing his best football, and he's actually been competing as opposed to that guy we've seen get rushed and turn around and start running backwards and then throwing the ball over his shoulder, yelling, "Blow the whistle!"
Yeah.
So, they grew a little bit as a team, found a way to win when they weren't playing well. Hey, all they're supposed to do is get a W against Miami at home. You don't get style points, right?
No, absolutely. And truly, to me, that's a significant win for them.
Huge.
Because beating a bad team at home when you're undefeated early in the season is a sign of maturity.
Yeah.
That you can focus sufficiently on the task at hand to get it done and get a win. That's, you know, a lot of immature teams aren't able to do that. So, yeah, I give them a lot of credit.
Plus the juice you get out of it, it builds confidence.
Yes.
Whereas if you blow that game, what you accomplished in the first 3 weeks might start to erode.
Because you're going to be in more games like that too.
Half of them.
So, you know, now you know that, you know, you have the ability to get some things done at the end and win.
It's a great equalizer, isn't it, that last drive?
Oh, yeah. On the downside, just for the first quarter of the league, the lie downs, they lose 20-13 yesterday, a kickoff return for a touchdown and a punt return for a touchdown in the same game.
I believe it was the first kickoff, the opening kickoff.
Yes, the opening kickoff, and it took exactly 10 seconds, too. Percy Harvin, pick them up and put them down.
Nice readiness.
Yeah. Well, hey.
Win on three. Ready? One, two. Forget it.
Didn't we see that in Kansas City? Yes, we did.
I believe we saw it here at Heinz Field, too.
Which one? I know.
New York Football Jets 2 years ago?
Yes.
Brad Smith?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that was the year of the really atrocious special teams.
Yes.
Okay, so the Lions are one of the Jets' big disappointment, I think.
And now with Santonio Holmes, Hart, and Revis, they're done.
How uncompetitive they have been, speed bumpish. And, your favorite team.
Speed bumpish.
Well,
I like that.
You like that? Okay, and the Chiefs. Anybody who liked the Chiefs was delusional.
Eagles?
Well... Let's wait till later in the week.
I just want to give you one little tidbit to chew on.
Okay, they call it a tease in the business.
Philadelphia, under Andy Reid, who was still the head coach. He wasn't kidnapped. It was the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes.
They ran the ball 36 times last night against the New York Football Giants and threw it 30 times. LeSean McCoy, a.k.a. Shady, had 2 rushing yards at halftime and ended with a buck 23. You're speechless because the Eagles stayed with the ground game. In fact, found a better way to get it blocked at halftime and used it to beat the New York Football Giants. Everybody's going to be talking about Mike Vick this and Mike Vick that all week and all those receivers and all their skill. Yeah, I get all that, but first and foremost, job one on Sunday, Labs, stop Shady McCoy.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Maybe that really wasn't Andy Reid, only his clone. He was taken over by aliens, Men in Black 4. Who knows? That'll do it for this edition of Talking Steelers Football. For Mike Pursuta, I'm Bob Labriola. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon. We'll break down those Philadelphia Eagles even in more detail.